Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning and welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving Christian nationalists. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white. And we're continuing on with the last little bit of what we were covering last week in the Word, in Ezra chapters 9 and 10.
Yes.
And so we're going to be covering that, and so we can wrap that up. And
that's right.
You know, as we come out of Easter weekend,
yes.
You know, we have been talking about Passover.
Right.
You know, Passover is what Jesus, during the Last Supper, as he was doing communion,
right,
he commanded that everybody do that every year in remembrance of him. And so that is what happens during Passover on Friday. And so that was kind of one of the conversations that we were having on our channel about truth. Because, you know, when we're on Monochromatic Monday, the truth is black and white.
Yeah.
Right.
It's and she's talking about the Telegram channel, The Morning Commute. And there was a pretty good discussion that took place there about Easter versus Passover, and really just we're going to talk about this because some people have been asking, how do Christians celebrate Passover? And we're going to talk about that, because there is quite a large and growing, very rapidly growing movement among Christians today that are going back to our scriptural biblical roots.
Right.
And Easter is a pagan holiday. It's the worship of Ishtar.
Yep.
And everything associated with bunnies and fertility and eggs and all this stuff is all pagan symbology that the Catholic Church basically banned, the Passover and implemented Easter on Ishtar.
Right.
And really, because everybody's, it's Resurrection Day. We already have a Resurrection Day.
Right.
It follows Passover by 2 days. On Sunday, when he was resurrected, that's the Feast of First Fruits. He is the first of the fruits.
Right.
From the harvest.
Yep.
And that's the resurrection. The first fruits is and this is what's been, we've been robbed as Christians of our scriptural heritage, because people don't even know this.
Right.
They do. Christians, I didn't. Right. I mean, I grew up Pentecostal, Church of Christ, and Assemblies of God, and none of this was ever taught.
No, exactly.
Because it was a Jewish thing.
Right.
You know, and it's not Jewish feasts. It's God's feasts. And it really had to kind of flipped everything that I thought I knew on its head.
Right.
Until I started looking, going deeper into this. And what's kind of cool, and I really believe the Holy Spirit is behind it. There is a huge awakening in the church today.
That's right.
That's exploring this and going, and we're learning a lot from our Messianic friends, our Messianic Jewish friends, Jews, ethnic and religious Jews who became Christians.
Right.
They realize Christ is the Messiah.
Right.
So they're bringing forward their knowledge base of Torah and, the feasts and everything. And they see Christ fulfilling those, fulfilling prophecy and the foreshadowing of Christ in all of the feasts that we don't know anything about.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about that, because we've got 2 weeks before
Passover.
Passover
on the 23rd.
Comes up.
Yeah.
Oh, more than.
With
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yep.
So that's plenty of time. We'll talk about a Seder, and we'll talk about Passover and the real Resurrection Day, which is still coming.
Right, and like you had mentioned, a point that we were making on our channel was that yeah, you and I feel like we kind of got gypped, like we kind of got robbed after you start to understand the blessings that are associated with all of God's feasts.
Yeah.
And also with keeping the Sabbath. I mean, modern Christians have no idea what they're missing out on. And you don't know that, you don't know about what a big blessing it becomes to you when you participate right. in these things and how it blesses you until you've actually been participating in it. And so that's why we're trying to share it with everyone, because we're following scripture to the letter in these things. And we found them to be nothing but pure blessings.
Yeah. And you can't even keep all of the feasts. We're not saying you have to keep all the feasts, because some of them require traveling to Jerusalem, bringing a sacrifice at the temple, and all that's gone right now. Christ was the fulfillment of the Passover. He was the Passover lamb. He also fulfilled the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Unleavened right. Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, which is his resurrection. And now there's three feasts that still have not yet been prophetically fulfilled.
That's right.
Those are the fall feasts. So it's in our best interest to learn about them. Even if you can't keep those feasts, learn them, observe them.
Right.
And it'll take your faith to a way deeper understanding where the early church was. They got rid of 300 years of the early church keeping the Sabbath and, you know, observing these feasts, except for, you know, the sacrifices at the temple.
Right.
And it was ingrained in them, but that got stripped away because of anti-Semitism crept into the church and really took a strong hold there in the with the Catholic Church. So we've lost that. We've been robbed of that.
We have, and that would be one of Satan's multiple great victories against the Christian Church,
oh boy.
Especially the modern Christian church, because if he can rob modern Christians of the Sabbath, which is the day they get to spend with the Lord, you know, shut the whole world out and you're blessed beyond, you know, what you and I can describe. You're just blessed. You just feel wonderful every single time you come out of Sabbath and you wish it wasn't over and you can't wait for the next one.
Right.
It's like having a mini Christmas every single week that you get yeah. to have it. Seriously, it's fun like that. And so for Satan to be able to pull that off on the entire Christian church, where they don't get that at all.
Right.
And not only that, but then of course God's feasts as well. And so I also wanted to point out that, you know, for all the Christians out there that, you know, they're, all of that is foreign to you. It was foreign to us too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not used to it, it's hard to get excited about those kind of things because you don't know, but give yourself some time, because the more you learn about it and once you start participating, then you make it your own. It becomes more
yes.
familiar to you. And as you become more familiar, the excitement grows. And what also grows is your understanding of the rich depth that is associated with it. Because these are not Jewish feasts, because these are the feasts that are foreshadows of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus, not something, some far off different Talmud thing.
Right.
This is Jesus that this is all focused around across the whole span of the Bible, Old and New Testament.
Right.
This is nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in every single one of these feast days. So of course these are not feasts of the Jews, or even if they are, Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
But it all points to him. And so this is why, you know, if we're Christians and we are worshiping Jesus Christ, we darn well better be observing these feasts that are strictly about him.
Well, the only thing that gives any credibility to these are Jewish feasts is that the Jews were God's chosen people. They
right.
worshiped him.
Right.
And he said, this is how I want you to worship me. And here's the list, right down the line. And of course, they were Jewish feasts and festivals, because the rest of the Gentiles were pagans.
Right.
They were sacrificing children and having sex with kids and worshiping false gods and doing all kinds of evil stuff. And the Jews weren't, as long as they didn't start mingling with them. That's when they got themselves in trouble.
That's right.
But the grace of God, when we talk about his grace, His grace is that we are grafted in.
Yes.
As sons of Abraham, we're grafted into the promise. Their Messiah is now our Messiah.
Right.
Because of his grace. Right. Otherwise, we were toast.
Yep.
There was no bridging the gap. There was like, this was all for the Jews because he chose them, made a covenant with them. And now because of the new covenant, we are grafted in.
That's right.
So their heritage is our God's heritage and word.
Right.
And so, and you know, there were people, Ruth is a good example of a Gentile, a non-Jew, who moved to Israel, and she said, your God will be my God, and your people will become my people. And she became, at that time, she became a Jew because she was, you know, practicing religiously a Jew.
Right.
But she accepted God. We've accepted the same God she did.
Exactly.
That doesn't make us right. Jews. We're still Gentiles,
yep.
But we're Christians, and this is under a new covenant, and that was his grace that we ever even got a chance.
That's right.
At being his blood being shed, being for us as well. And it was only because his people rejected the Messiah when he came.
That's right.
That's what the tribulation is about redeeming. That's when the church age closes and God turns his attention to Israel, which we're already starting to see. And Israel will be redeemed. Those who survive
right.
will cry out to him and accept him. This is about atoning. This is about bringing Israel back.
That's right.
And they're going to.
Well, and see, that's why this is very important for us to share with everybody because you know, we're not going to acknowledge Easter as Resurrection Day. It's not going to happen. Once you learn the truth, you can't continue to adhere to a lie.
Right.
You can't say I love my old lie more than I love the truth, because in the end, in Revelation, it says that the people that are saved are the ones that develop the love of the truth. So, you know, what happens to you when you actually learn the truth, and that what you may have been doing is following a lie.
Yeah.
And so you have to ask yourself that question and be dead honest that if what I've been doing is wrong and God's word says something exactly opposite or different, am I going to go with God's word or am I going to stick with the lie?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like learning that CNN has been lying to you. And so once you find out about it, you still keep watching them.
Right.
You know, you know they're lying. You know that they have led the entire nation astray, but you're just used to them. And you kind of maybe like a few of the personalities that they have there.
Right.
And so you just keep watching and listening.
It becomes your tradition.
Yes. Right.
Well, and also there's no condemnation at all for anybody who,
no.
you know, follows Easter and Resurrection Day and our Lord is risen, hurrah, and all that stuff. It's a journey. And,
it is
a process of exploring. If you really are seeking God and you're honest about it with him and with yourself, you'll find the truth. And I was stunned. I thought, this is like some weird fringe thing, you know, yep. You're really stepping outside of, and I always thought people that don't worship Easter and they pay attention to the Jewish feasts were just kind of a little wound up a little too tight. They're just, you know, a little high strung and relax a little bit. You know, this is, we're under grace, you know, but then when I really started researching it and learning and reading the word and hearing people teaching about it, especially Messianic Jews, it all started to just, all the pieces started coming together.
That's
and I'm
right.
like, I've been lied to. I hate being lied to.
Well, exactly.
I've been duped.
Yeah.
And but it's a journey. But hey, take the first step. You know, there's several YouTube channels out there with some really good teaching. Just look up Easter versus Passover.
That's right.
You know, Passover is Passover for Christians. You know, key search words like that.
Right.
You'll start learning.
Well, yeah, because just keep in mind also that like I used to be a total fanatic over Christmas and Easter.
Right.
I absolutely love the holidays. I mean, I was spastically in love with the holidays, right. You know, so excited about them. And so, when that came about that I found out that, oh, okay, well, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. I'm like, really?
Right.
You know, what do you mean? You know, and so letting go of that was not easy for me at all. You know, that took me a good solid year to finally go, yep, well, the truth is the truth and I'm not going to celebrate a lie. You
right.
know? And the same thing with Sabbath. That one, when I heard that one, I felt like total harmonic discord in my thoughts. Like something's not right.
Right.
So I couldn't even wrap my mind around what I'd just been told. And I'm like, that can't be. There's no possible way that Sunday is not Sabbath.
Exactly. I do keep the Sabbath. I go to church every Sunday.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And, yeah, and, that's what yeah. I thought.
And I wasn't going down easy either. I was deciding, okay, well, I'm really going to research this on my own, and I'm going to find out if that's actually true or right. not. Right?
So I know it's not true.
Yeah, exactly. And so I even took a college course on it that studied the entire history around the Council of Nicaea and the whole thing that happened with Constantine. And I mean, it was extremely thorough course. And so by the time I'd been through that, I went, oh, so it is true. It's absolutely right. true. It's and that was also where I learned the fact that it you know the changing of Sabbath to Sunday actually happened, you know, as a historical thing that was a man-made thing, not a biblical thing at all. So you can't justify the Sabbath not being Sabbath anymore in modern Christianity through the Bible. You can't justify it because right. it happened 324 years after the fact, and it was done by a man. It was done by Constantine,
yep.
the emperor of Rome. And so you know, so don't feel like we have any condemnation towards any of you whatsoever. We were very adamantly skeptical as well, and we've just had multiple years prior to talking about it now that yeah. you know that we've had been able to research it ourselves and verify and find out. So
right, yeah. yeah. Yep. Before we became Sabbath keeping weirdos.
Well, you know, I can't say anything other than we've been truly blessed.
Yeah, yep. absolutely. Well, speaking of blessed, let's look at the word of the day today. We just want to take a few minutes to kind of carve out some time to talk about that.
Let's
because
do.
It's so important and it's so timely, just coming off of Ishtar.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
And so we'll come back to it. We'll visit it. We're going to talk about this and give you some resources where you can learn for yourself.
Right. Okay. So we are going to go back over a couple of the verses that we weren't able to elaborate on last Friday from Ezra chapter 10. And so I'll read through those again so that we can expound on them on how they affect us in a modern way. And that comes to us from Ezra chapter 10, verses 9 through 19, that reads, "So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month, on the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and because of heavy rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, 'You have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives.' Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, 'Yes, as you have said, so we must do. But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside, nor is this the work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and the judges of their cities, until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this matter. Only Jonathan, the son of Azahel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tivka, oppose this, and Meshulam and Shabbethel and Levite gave them support. Then the descendants of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the father's households, were set apart by the father's households, each of them by name, and they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And among the sons of the priests who had taken pagan wives, the following were found of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jerub, and Gedaliah. And they gave their promise that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they presented a ram of the flock as their trespass offering. And that's it.
Hmm.
And so the whole point of bringing this up at the end of the Repent Event week was to understand that the condition that the United States is in right now is similar to what we just read that they addressed in Ezra chapters 9 and 10.
Right.
Where there was such wickedness going on in the nation that was just allowed to return from their captivity.
Yeah.
And then here they instantly start doing all of these wicked, horrible practices again that God told them specifically not to do that, right?
Yep.
And so how that relates to the United States in a modern way is that we could very easily say that the United States has been first of all we've drawn back from God,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as you start doing that, God allows the demonic forces to come in and start attacking you. He lets your enemies start infiltrating your nation, just as we've read multiple times in other scriptures from the Old Testament.
That's right.
And so we're seeing this same exact pattern happen in the United States now. And so because we've been infiltrated and, by all of these communists, the whole UN agenda has been to infiltrate America and to subvert our government, because that's what communists do.
Right.
And so none of that is anything new to us. And so how it relates to Ezra 9 and 10 is that they purged their pagan wives.
Yes.
And so in a similar manner, in a modern manner, we can purge our communists out of our government positions, out of anything that is an elected position or an appointed position. Why? Not because, we don't like them. Well, it is true. We don't like what they represent.
Right.
But it's not only that, it's illegal. Article 4, Section 4 says that we are guaranteed a Republican form of government.
Yes.
And that Republican form of government that is guaranteed basically makes every other form of government or governance, in the case of communism, it's governance, illegal.
Yep.
You don't even have to name them all in Article 4, Section 4, because if you're guaranteed one, that omits every other kind.
That's right.
And so therefore, they're there illegally, and we have the right to purge them legally.
Yes.
Because that is a crime that they are following a communist dictate from a foreign nation, I might add.
Yeah.
All these people that are taking direction from the United Nations, we're watching them go to the World Economic Forum. We're watching them go to Davos and come back with all of these instructions saying, now you're going to pass laws against hate crimes, and they come back with a full list of things that they're told to do in our country.
That's right.
By a foreign governance. That's illegal as all get out.
Yes, it is.
And so this is the modern day version of Ezra would be for all of us to recommit to God in the building block fashion, where you build your house on the rock, which gives everything from there up a solid foundation, right? So you start with God. You recommit to God. You recommit to his laws. You recommit to our laws of the Constitution that are congruent with all of God's laws as well.
Yes.
And then we commit to purging the pagan wives, so to speak.
Right.
Right? And that doesn't have to be any violent thing at all. It's just basically following the law, and we can press charges.
Them.
We can press charges, criminal charges, for them carrying out any kind of communist anything.
Right. Yeah. Starting at the top with Biden there yesterday taking otherwise what is known as a Christian holiday and declaring it to be Transgender Visibility Day.
Oh, good grief.
What a way to put a big, giant kick me sign on the back of your nation.
No kidding.
That God's going to be obliged to carry it out.
That's right.
You know, yeah, we're in trouble.
Well, so. And after the break, I've got a short little article that you're going to appreciate hearing about what Trump had to say about that.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yep.
All right. So we wrapped up Ezra, and we are, what is that? Ezra 10?
Ezra 10. And that's the completion of it. We just wanted to wrap up the final conclusion as to repent event a week ends in the same kind of form as Ezra 9 and 10. Now it's time for us to purge the pagan wives, so to speak.
There you go. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break then. Sit back. This segment is brought to you by JesusAppears.com. And check him out. You want to be ready for the return of our King, which is, it's coming. There's no doubt about it. And don't be left behind. You do not want to have to go through what's going to be hitting this earth. So learn more at JesusAppears.com and stick around. Segment two of The Morning Commute. We'll be back right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written 2 books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay for Congress.com.
This ad paid for by the Committee to Elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5. Welcome back, Christian Patriots, to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Segment 2 here, and I want to thank you guys who have supported us with prayer and financially, just $5, $10, $20 a month, anything to help keep us going. We are very grateful. And you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Donate to RFR tab there to find out the different ways that you can support us. Isn't that right, Lady Liberty?
That's right. We're so grateful.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was really wonderful about us taking that little hiatus from the morning commute was, I mean, it wasn't wonderful. It was terrible, in fact, because, we felt all heartbroken about it. And so did all the listeners that wrote to us. We had so many people write to us very, very heartfelt things. Like, we're based on you guys. Our mornings, our whole family starts with you guys. Now everything's all screwed up,
Right.
And everybody was so heartbroken because they're saying, this is the closest I've been to the Lord in as long as I can remember, because of our word of the day and our conversations about it.
Right.
And so, we got just some fantastic responses. And I've got another response here from a listener that I just have to read it because this is kind of a lot of what we were getting by the droves. And so I wanted to share this with you. It reads, "So glad the long dark week of your absence is over. I know you two know this, but sometimes it is good to hear it from the outside. The morning commute is not just unique. It is critical Christian teaching on many areas done in a most Holy Spirit way that makes your guidance vital to the Christian community. And those fence-riding non-believers out there get a moment to hear real Spirit-filled believers talk in ways that are uncommon on Christian radio. So I continue to ask God that you two would be successful in capturing the 5th District and that you find yourselves back on the air in a spot that nourishes believers and those who are looking to get their toes wet." And so that's it.
That's awesome.
We are so blessed by that letter and by all of, everyone else out there too that has sent us letters and emails and texts.
That's right.
We can't tell you how much that means to us, and that has motivated us to come back stronger and branch out in other ways to reach more people as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to announcing that when that time comes. But what a blessing, that letter and so many other letters and texts and emails that we've gotten.
It's just, thank you all. It's been amazing.
Well, it's been an inspiration because that is going to set us up for, what we look forward to.
That's right.
That we're going to be announcing. So, okay, well, good. Well, we do have some things going on in the news. There's a ton of stuff going on. And so we're going to hit a couple of these things. Speaking of monochromatic truth.
Yes.
The lie of this climate cult.
Oh, yeah.
This climate lie is just unreal.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the funny thing too is having written this book, having lived all of this research and been an activist in this trying to stop all of this for 6 years before I even wrote the book. So 6 years of actual experience as well as very in-depth research went into it. And so The Perils of Sustainable Development that I published in 2012 is relevant. Just as relevant again today as it was in 2012 because of the resurge of all the communists taking over again, and they're acting like, okay, well, we'll just pick up where we left off, when Trump started. And so here we're regurgitating all of this garbage again, and so it makes my book relevant again today.
That's right.
And so here we've got this clip where we've got the president of Guyana being interviewed by the BBC. And let me just tell you something. The president of Guyana, Mohamed Irfan Ali, blasts the BBC over the claim that oil reserves will cause damage to the climate. So listen to their exchange.
He was having none of it.
Yep. He lets them have it. It's great.
Let's take a big picture look at what's going on here. Over the next decade, 2 decades, it is expected that there will be $150 billion worth of oil and gas extracted off your coast. It's an extraordinary figure, but think of it in practical terms. That means according to many experts, more than 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed, from those reserves, and be released into the atmosphere. I don't know if you, as a head of state, went to the COP in Dubai.
Let me stop you right there. Do you know that Guyana has a forest forever that is the size of England and Scotland combined? A forest that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon? A forest that we have kept alive? A forest that we have kept alive.
Does that give you the right? Does that
give you the right to lecture us on climate change? I am going to lecture you on climate change because we have kept this forest alive that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon that you enjoy, that the world enjoy, that you don't pay us for, that you don't value, that you don't see a value in, that the people of Guyana has kept alive. Guess what? We have the lowest deforestation rate in the world. And guess what? Even with our greatest exploration of the oil and gas resource we have now, we will still be net zero. Guyana will still be net zero. With all our exploration, still be net zero.
Powerful words, Mr. President.
I'm not completed as yet. I am not finished as yet. I am just not finished as yet. Because this is the hypocrisy that exists in the world. The world in the last 50 years has lost 65% of all its biodiversity. We have kept our biodiversity. Are you valuing it? Are you ready to pay for it? When is the developed world going to pay for it? Or are you in the pockets? Are you in the pockets of those who have damaged the environment? Are you and your system in the pockets of those who destroyed the environment through the Industrial Revolution and now lecturing us? Are you in their pockets? Are you paid by them? Are you
all
paid
right,
to keep
right,
their message?
All right, I can't take it no more.
That's right.
That's quite the lashing.
Yeah, and the interviewer, boy, they hate it when the person they're trying to give the what for to gives them the what for.
People that are like in BBC, MSNBC, they're just so arrogant.
Yes.
The smug looks, just the sheer arrogance. I don't even know where they get it from.
Yeah, speaking to a president of an entire nation in that manner, as if an interviewer can be looking down on a president.
That's because some overpaid journalists have spent the last 20 years with everybody, kissing their behind and telling them how wonderful and smart they are and everything else. And that's what brings those people to that kind of a place.
Well, and see, that's what even made me like Trump in the first place was watching his very first interview with MSNBC interviewer where this woman starts in with their vile, nasty attacks, and Trump just attacked right back. He barked her right down.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
that's what those people
hooray,
need.
Hooray, it's about time.
Yeah, we just heard. It was just awesome. That's the kind of responses these people need a lot more of.
Exactly. And speaking along those lines, we wanted to touch on how Donald Trump responded to Biden's ridiculous transgender thing. And so this is perfect form for him because it's time for us to all be taking this stance that it's time for the Christians to stand up and say, that's it. No more of your garbage.
Right.
And so this right here, we got from Fox News where it says that, on Truth Social the other day, Donald Trump demands that Biden issue an apology over blasphemous Trans Visibility Day on Easter Sunday, and he calls it appalling.
Yes.
And absolutely, we all need to be demanding apologies. We need to be demanding prosecution for crimes.
Yep.
We need to turn on the offense right now.
That's right.
And start going after these criminals. Yep. It's time. It is Purge the Pagan Wives year.
Agreed. That's great.
We're going to do it too. Yep. Seriously, just let us at them.
Yep. Well, okay, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. And you guys have a blessed day out there. Just, be vigilant, be safe, and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a marvelous monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.